And if you want to be a part of the conversation too, then subscribe to my Patreon, www.patreon.com/Mr. Chaz, and join the conversation. Ask your own questions. Be a part of it for as low as $5 a month and get access to one-on-one coaching with me for as low as $20 a month.
What's my name? What's my name?
What no one took into consideration is the developmental struggle of a two-year-old is, I want to be a baby, I want to be a big boy or a big girl. So why would we use a script that might create resistance right out the gate? If I have a child who's feeling like there's nothing more that I want than to be your baby, and you tell me how absolutely big I am, I am going to want to protect my babyhood as long as I possibly can. And that gets further exacerbated with children in families where there is a new baby. And that often is not an uncommon situation when a child is 2 years old, then there's a new sibling that comes into the family. So that intensifies and it makes complete sense. So there's a better script, and there's a script that actually supports children's developmental needs.
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people who can help you on your parenting, leadership, or teaching journey. And today, I have an episode for you that is very specialized about what most people know as potty training. But we're going to, as we typically do, shift your mindset and shift the paradigm with this conversation. And today I have for you Joan Morgenstern. And you may be familiar with the name a little bit because I, some months ago, met her at a conscious discipline conference and actually made a reel kind of a little bit talking about her idea around potty mastery. So without further ado, I'm going to stop talking, allow her to introduce herself, and then I will ask a question as I normally do to jump into the conversation. But first, who are you, Joan?
Well, thanks, Mr. Chaz, and what a wonderful opportunity to be here and to connect with your audience and to share some what I think is really very incredibly important information. But who am I? I'm a parent coach and educator. I've actually been in the field for 30 plus years, so I'm a bit of a dinosaur regarding that. But in the field of parent education, and I do work with teachers as well. One of my sweet spots is really shedding light and influence around children's toileting. And people often say, like, well, how did you get into that? And what makes you the expert? And why are you so passionate about it? And I like to say I'm passionate with a capital P, double E. I'm passionate with that big P. And the reason why I'm passionate is because I think there's so much misinformation out there regarding children's toilet mastery. And it really erodes healthy relationships and compromises, in some instances, children's physicality. And I know that there's a better way of doing it. And I'm committed to getting that information out there.
Okay, so broad question, we always hear, you know, potty training or toilet training, and I already hear in the language that you're using different language, you're calling it mastery as opposed to training. So there's gotta be something different. What's the difference, and what is potty or toilet mastery?
Right. So that's a great question. And it actually really frames how I think about this developmental milestone for children. And so I think we kind of just have to think a little bit about the words we use and the meaning and intention of that. So we kind of sometimes throw words around and we think like, well, we're pretty comfortable with it and it really describes what we're trying to achieve. But we really don't train children to use the toilet. We support their learning, that result in mastering the toilet. And when we think in terms of training, we go down this slippery slope of this is what the adult needs you to do, rather than this is a skill you will be learning to do. And all of that power belongs with the adult. All of that frustration, all of those emotions become adult-owned because it's an adult trying to achieve an outcome, a specific outcome for their child, versus the idea of, wow, this is a new skill you will be learning. I am here to champion you and to support the learning process. And I give that ownership right over to you. And it starts really with thinking about it differently. There are definitely like, what are the skills we need to support children? But before we apply those skills, we have to get our mindset in the right place. You alluded to mindset just when you were opening up that podcast. And training puts us in the wrong mindset. And it's so over comfortable for everybody. It just rolls off your tongue. As soon as you hear the word potty, the next word that follows is training. And in fact, there isn't a book on the market that I have come across for adults regarding this developmental milestone that somewhere in their title doesn't throw the word training in there. So how do we need to begin to look at it differently? As we have to speak about it differently. We don't train children to use the potty. We train dogs. We might train for the Olympics. We train horses, but we support children's learning. We don't train them.
Oh, wow. Great answer. So, all right. Mindset shift, language shift, at the very least a language shift, and maybe a little bit of mindset goes with that. We're using different language. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's more to your technique and what you're offering that's different than just a change in language. So what does that look like? We've changed the language to potty learn or potty mastery. Mm-hmm. How does that look different? How do we speak about it differently to children? Are the steps different? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I think kind of more philosophically is what we need to understand is that potty learning informs potty mastery. So what do I mean about that? Potty mastery is really mastering the toilet. And we can think of mastery in kind of very simple steps, which is really when we're talking about our 2.5-year-old, when we're really introducing this to them and we're looking for them to kind of master the toilet, we're thinking just about their body awareness and initiative. Notice what's going on in your body and take the initiative to put your pee and poop in the potty. When we really think about mastery in a much more kind of comprehensive way, it is more multifaceted. It's from recognizing you need to go, to getting to the toilet on time, to pushing your pants down, to sitting on the toilet, wiping, flushing, washing hands. So that really, in essence, is potty mastery. It's what us adults do without even thinking about it, or hopefully us adults do that without even thinking about it. But potty learning, everything that precedes mastering the potty, is also very important to focus in on. It's not like just a one and done. We give kids underpants, we take away their diapers, and we're like, okay, now use the toilet. We really want to think about what are the areas of learning that need to occur that ultimately will support a child's successful toileting. And there are really two different types of learning. There's indirect learning and there's direct learning. And it kind of is pretty self-explanatory. Indirect learning is everything a child picks up on, positive and negative, without our intentional kind of direction towards them. Where direct learning is, hi, little kiddo, like it's your big opportunity now to give up these diapers and to transition over into underpants, and I'm going to focus my energy and attention to that outcome. And so I always explain to parents, we want to really ramp up our indirect learning, positive indirect learning, before we focus in on direct learning. So like, how do we do that? Well, one big game changer is we want to speak positively regarding urine and feces right out the gate. We don't want to say things like, ooh, stink job, and all those other kind of things that can roll off our tongue when we have a big, big mess to clean up. We want to communicate really early that urinating and defecating is a remarkable way that the body does the important work it needs to do in order to keep us healthy and growing. The other is that we want to be mindful of the fact that children are observing our toileting habits. In fact, for most typically developing children around the age of 13 to 18 months of age, that they know that what goes on when you're in the bathroom, because ever since you brought them home from the hospital, they've heard things like, I'll be right back, I need to go potty. And what I often say is, if you have a toddler, half the time they're joining you while you're in the bathroom. So all of those messages really lead to a lot of ideally healthy indirect learning that will support the direct learning once it really kind of transitions to that point. We know that when children are in child care centers and they are still in diapers and some of their peers are already using the potty, that that's another way for kids to get a lot of indirect information about what happens when you go to the toilet. So one is that we really understand that. And then the other is that we really break down. I think one of the kind of things that I have been able to do is to break down what are the necessary skills that must occur in order for a child, or what is required of a child in order to successfully use the potty. And I say that there are two areas that you need to focus in on. You need to focus in on a child's willingness to use the potty, and you need to then address the skills that are necessary in order to use the potty. And they both need to work together. And the will part of it sometimes gets very overlooked. And people will say, like, well, why do kids resist? And there are many reasons why a child might resist. I'm very clear, it's not just one specific reason why a child may have some resistance around this. But what we know, that if a child feels like their sense of worthiness is dependent upon them using the toilet, or they feel unworthy because somehow, unintentionally, through some of the messaging that they received around toileting, it makes them feel shameful, that they start out with the lack of willingness to do it. It's almost like they go into a protective posture. So one of the things I say to parents all the time, that the way we sustain will is we stay in healthy connection with our children, that we don't attribute their value or their worthiness to what they do or don't do in the toilet. And not just in our words, but in our energy, because we all know that young children can read our energy even when the words that we're saying don't sound offensive or don't sound overwhelming. They feel our overwhelm. So we really need to say is, wow, this is a new learning and it may take time. And I see your goodness and worthiness independent of anything that's going on in the bathroom. That's the strongest way to sustain a child's willingness. The skills are a little more functional. So I say that there are three primary skills. We start first with the intellectual awareness, that the child understands that pee and poop belong in the potty. And most typically developing children figure that out certainly by 18 months, sometimes earlier, occasionally a little bit later. And again, why did they figure that out? Because they see the adults using the toilet, talking about the toilet, joining adults while they're using in the bathroom, etc. But what I make a very clear point to parents is that knowing and doing, not just for kids, for everybody, are two different skills. I know pee and poop along the potty. It doesn't mean I'm capable or able to get my own pee and poop in the potty. But knowing is an important place to start. Yes. Then the next major skill a child needs is that they need to tune into their physiology. They need to recognize what's going on within their body, the urge to pee, the urge to poop. And really, we can thank our very absorbent diapers for making children a little less aware. children who are in cloth diapers, and there are plenty nowadays, 21st century children who are still in cloth diapers. But those children are naturally, by the cloth diaper alone, it requires them to attune more to their physiology because it's just not as absorbent or as protective. So a huge, major step for children is, wow, now I have to notice and pay attention to what's going on in my body. And the last is that they have to time it up, right? They have to know what to do. They have to feel what to do. And then they have to get to the right place at the right time. And what do we all know about young children? They're pretty awful time managers, correct? Mm-hmm. I've yet to meet a young one that's really efficient. And if they're playing with something, engaged with something, doing something that they enjoy, the likelihood that they will want to stop in order to use the potty, that just takes a lot of practice. And I also kind of communicate that it's not just that they learn these skills in isolation. These have to be one fluid action. And so that's why early on in the process, we see lots of accidents, which are very normal, important, and necessary. And they have accidents because they haven't gotten that all kind of looped together yet. They're sloppy. They're figuring it out. They're trying to make sense of it.
So, okay, what up here? Your three things that you said. Knowing, you have to know to the three things to watch, to look for, to know if your child's ready to kind of start this process, right? It's knowing. Two, it's recognizing the feelings in their body. And three, they have to time it out. And I kind of want to talk about each one of these three things real quick. Knowing, you said knowing and doing are not the same thing. And for, that's something that we hear all the time. Like, they should know better. Like, they know better. So they should, you know, they should do better. And, you know, just like we know as adults, as a teacher, as a parent, as a whatever, that we probably should regulate ourselves before we react, right? We know that, but it still doesn't mean that we won't still, you know, be challenged to do it. And sometimes we may mess up and may make a mistake, right? And then recognizing the feelings in the body, and I think the language that you kind of bring around that are just like, what's that feeling in your tummy? And I actually like to, this is going off a little bit, I'll just wait. And then three, time it up. They have to be able to just kind of feel the feeling, know what to do, and like everything kind of has to align. And I've seen that over and over and over again be a struggle for children. And sometimes it's about, you know, it's about being reflective of kind of the environment or like the environment that we're creating, like, are we making it conducive so it's easier for them to time it up, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing I notice that happens so often in a childcare setting is that a child's playing with a toy, they need to use the bathroom, but there are all these other children around too. And, like, you know, the rule is, you know, you put it down, you stop playing with it, someone else can play with it, right? And so then this child has to choose between, you know, using the bathroom and playing with their most favorite toy, and to continue playing with the most favorite toy, I think I might add. It's not even to start that, they're already engrossed in it. And mm-hmm. a lot of times children will choose to continue playing. And, you know, I know that even like I'm watching a show or I'm doing something, like I'll do the potty dance a little bit before I actually, you know, go. You know, I'm in a classroom and I can't necessarily, I'll kind of like sometimes wait. And sure, as an adult with a lot more experience with my bladder, I tend to do a better job at timing it up than the children do. But I think, you know, to your point, that all that takes a lot of practice. And those are, you know, those exactly. are very real skills.
It does take so much practice. And you bring up a really, really important point. So like potty learning at home looks different than potty learning at school. Both have advantages and both have disadvantages. I mean, there are strengths that come from both environments in different ways. But one of the areas that I love when I can do this talk and address toddler teachers and early childhood staff, because when I can make them a little more aware of that sometimes a child's resistance is because somebody's going to usurp their play space because there isn't a practice in place that says, no, we all value everybody's right to use the toilet. And it can be as easy as getting some kind of visual symbol, like a picture of the school potty or anything with a happy face on it. And children know that this is what they put on their play space. And that everybody is aware that when you see this symbol, that means that that's saved for the child in the bathroom. So that brings, that's so helpful when teachers can, and it's such an easy practice to implement that they can bring that into their classroom. And the other thing I just wanted to say is that, like, these skills that I talked about, the will, staying in healthy relationship with teachers and parents, and these skills, that that's really what adults need to know. Children, other than knowing that pee and poop go in the potty, the really paying attention to their physicality and their ability to time it up and get to the potty on time, that happens once they're in underpants in that transition of active direct potty learning. It's not necessarily a sign that you want to make sure like kids have it. It's, oh, the adult is mindful. I understand why this isn't catching on so quickly. There's a lot more involved in it than I initially thought. So knowing that, what I always say is we want to approach children through a supportive lens. How can I make sense of this so that I can influence your willingness and influence your desire to do something that may be feel a little bit challenging? And even if it doesn't feel challenging, it certainly is going to feel pretty unfamiliar to kids. And how do I help manage my own emotions around that so I can present myself in as supportive a fashion as possible?
Which brings me to my next question. When you talk about managing your own emotions around it, and we here in the Mr. Chaz community talk about that a lot. And we also talk about how difficult it can be in different circumstances. One common circumstance that is very real, a lot of times preschools will put a lot of pressure on parents to have their children mastering the potty by a certain time, right? And a lot of times in my opinion, it's like, oh, by the time they get to the three-year-old room, they need to learn to, you know, use the bath. They need to have mastered or at least be far
well
along
on your way. Yeah.
Right, and mastering the potty. And that can create even more anxiety than what was already there for a lot of parents. Mm-hmm. And so now they're having these feelings of like, oh no, like I won't have my child, they won't be able to go to school, then I won't be able to go to work, and then we won't be able to make money, and then, you know, it's this whole spiral. And so that really ultimately the result is you need to learn this thing right now. and the frustration with all those other messages kind of in the back of your mind in these moments when there's, you know, it's not just for some people, it may not feel like it's just another mistake on the learning process, which is what we, hopefully that's our mindset, like, oh, this is another mistake on the learning process. But like, no, this is, he's not there yet. And we don't have a lot of time. Like there's no room for mm-hmm. any more mistakes is how a lot of people feel. And so if you could talk a little bit, if you could talk a little bit about kind of how we think about that, how we manage that, how we have those conversations. Talk to us a little bit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure. And it's such a challenging situation for a parent to find them in. And I think in order to talk about like, What do you do when you're on the ground running and you're facing this problem? We first have to address an issue that is super problematic, which is a lot of our childcare centers. And I worked in childcare. I was a director of an early childcare center. The teachers in early childhood are my heroes. This is in no way anything but the highest accolades for the very, very important work that they do. Yeah. But this is it. There isn't a lot of training around this developmental milestone. And regretfully, there are a lot of artificial limits or limits that schools place. And for very real reasons, because they no longer have changing tables in three-year-old classrooms and because they don't have the correct staff ratios to address a lot of toileting issues. And I mean, I understand all of the pragmatics. So we go more into this. It's like, wow, we have this societal kind of conflict going on, which is we have institutions, family institutions and school institutions that are committed to doing well by children, that want children to succeed and be successful. And yet we're applying policies, procedures, and expectations without really complete full understanding of how it works in the best interest of diverse children. Many kids by the age of three have that capability and will successfully master the potty. And there are others who will need more time or who've had other experiences that are going to influence either their willingness or the integration of those skills. And we really need to think of it as holistically as possible. But parents can find themselves, and I've worked with many of those parents too. It's like, but we have no wiggle room here. They're not willing to bend on their policy. So if I were talking lofty first, and I always try and paint a bigger picture, it's wow. It's not that schools and teachers don't want to do well. It's that they perhaps don't understand or they don't have the right resources in order to make decisions that are really more supportive of a wider range of children who have diverse needs. The other kind of is, and that's my goal. I mean, one of my goals is not just change the name from potty training to potty mastery, but is really to shed light and educate people. When people are educated, they can begin to rethink it a little bit. The other is when you get a parent and they're under the gun and they're like, we have 2 weeks and it's 2 weeks or we can't come or they're going to stay behind and all their friends are going to get promoted. Yeah. The only thing, and this is not, and this won't fix it, is that you have to somehow in your mind envision that your child is going to be able to do it. That so often our adult energy is in contrast with the energy that our children need to feel from us. So our fear, our worry, our noticing that progress seems really slow, perhaps even non-existent, that's what our children energetically read from us. I say we almost have to kind of envision a child sitting on the potty, taking responsibility for their body urges, demonstrating initiative as though it's kind of like a vision board. We've all heard of vision boards, like, what do you want your life to look like in the future? We have to envision our child doing it, and we have to go back to that image over and over and over and over. We are wired for negativity bias. Our brain will see the image of my child is three and a quarter and they're in a toddler room and all of their peers have progressed into a preschool classroom. Our brain will not do that automatically for us. So that's what we have to do. And can I guarantee you that that will mean that in 2 weeks the child will onboard it? No, I can't. I can't make those guarantees, but you begin to get yourself into a position where your child experiences that you see them as capable even before they're actually capable of doing it. And that's the best headspace to get into.
Yeah, I agree. Ooh, I agree so much. It's almost you're manifesting it and you're putting the energy into it because, you know, the whole thing, what you focus on, you're going to get more of. And we're telling ourselves all have all these negative thoughts. And those negative thoughts are going to create our energy, and we're going to project that outward onto them. And we're still going to be trying our best, but we're not going to see that, you know, the energy is going to be hard to see that the energy that we're bringing to it with all of our anxiety around it is actually slowing their mastery and their learning process.
Without a question of a doubt. And our children are very wise and intuitive. They feel what we feel. They don't have words to describe it. So we think kind of that we're not as attuned to what they energetically get from us, because they have no capability of expressing it. They just lack the language to do it. But it doesn't mean, I often say, they have the knowing, they just don't have the thoughts. The knowing is attached to the feeling around it. So when we feel like, in my favorite words, Mr. Chaz, that I say parents can say to their kids is, it won't be long. It won't be long before you're able to notice what's going on in your body. It won't be long before you're more comfortable putting your pee or poop inside that potty. It won't be long pivots them to the goal we want them to achieve. When we feel like, why aren't you, or when will you, whatever, we're taking mm-hmm. them down that slippery slope of you're not doing it.
Mm. Yeah, that can feel really shameful. Because then you start to ask, you know, you don't really have an answer as a child, you know, why can't you just, I don't know, there must be something wrong with me. You don't know. I don't know.
And then what do we know from that? That then begins to erode their willingness.
Yeah. And then it's like, I don't care. I don't want to do it. Right.
Correct.
And then our question becomes, how can I get them to care? My child just doesn't care. We may have played a role in getting there. I have to ask you another question, because this is something, another kind of shift that people, that may surprise people who are listening. You had some thoughts when I was at the conference and I heard you talk. I heard you have some conversation about calling, saying you're going to be a big boy now. So now you're going to use, you know, the big boy potty, and you're going to be a big boy. And you had some thoughts on that, and I would love for you to share. What are your thoughts? Because that is very common language. That is what I would say 50% or more people kind of say when they are trying to convince children to use the bathroom. It's like, you're going to be a big boy. Like, don't you want to be a big boy? And you are a big boy, so you need to use this. Or big girl, or whatever it is, whatever the gender or non-gender is, but you're big now. So what are your thoughts on that?
Right. So I say that we use big the same way that we use training. So they kind of go hand in hand, potty training, big boy, big girl, and that becomes the script about this developmental milestone. So you know how I feel about the word training. We've got to, like I say, that train has left the station and it's not coming back. But the same similarity, what is so interesting about the big is that we use big, A, because it's been a normalized script. But how did it get normalized? It became normalized. Or what was the intention around it? Was to incentivize children, to encourage children, to like enlist their like enthusiasm for this. But what no one took into consideration when they were coming up with this big dialogue was that while the mean age, and I understand there are outliers at either end, children do this younger and children do this older, but the mean age that children really begin embarking upon potty learning that results in potty mastery is somewhere in their second year of life, from 24 to 36 months, with outliers on all ends of that. And that what no one took into consideration is the developmental struggle of a two-year-old is, I want to be a baby, I want to be a big boy or a big girl. So why would we use a script that might create resistance right out the gate? If I have a child who's feeling like there's nothing more that I want than to be your baby, and you tell me how absolutely big I am, I am going to want to protect my babyhood as long as I possibly can. And that gets further exacerbated with children in families where there is a new baby. And that often is not an uncommon situation. When a child is 2 years old, then there's a new sibling that comes into the family. So that intensifies and it makes complete sense. So there's a better script, and there's a script that actually supports children's developmental needs. And instead of calling them big, I say, let's tell them they have a new important job. So why do we use the word job? Well, for a couple reasons. One is, unlike adults, toddlers, preschoolers, they think jobs are amazing. In fact, they are so attached to the idea of a job because that helps them feel connected to the important world of the adult whom they are attached to, whom they want to emulate, and whom they recognize as being such important people in their life. If you're a teacher in a preschool or toddler classroom, all the kids want the jobs. They want line leader. They want to turn off the light. They want to ring the bell. They want to wash the table. They want to accompany you when you go to the office. They want jobs. Kids at home, they want jobs too, at least early on. They want to help you do washing, cook meals, and they want to be part of the work that parents are doing and that they see going on around them from all these important adults who they are so connected to. So we use a word that has meaning to a child. We tell them that they have a big, important job. And then we have to give that job a title, right? It's confusing if we have a job and we don't know what our title is. So we give them the title, you're a body boss. And I say that's an important title for many different reasons. The first is that when we tell them that they are a body boss, it reminds them of an important part of potty mastery, which is body ownership. I'm in charge of my body. I own my body. This becomes my responsibility. The other reason why we say body boss is that it's an appropriate way to empower children. Children are looking for power. This is empowerment because they are completely in charge of their own body. And lastly, for the adults, it reminds us when I give you the title, you're a body boss, that this is your job. It's not my job. You own this. I support you. I don't own this. You do. So I say we tell them that they are a body boss. And then we define what a body boss does. A body boss listens to their body so that they can recognize when they need to pee and poo. And a body boss takes care of their body by putting their pee and poop inside the potty. So we're breaking down those last two skills of those three skills I talked about. We're saying you have to listen, notice, recognize what's going on in your body, and then you take care of your body by putting your pee and poop inside the potty.
So that's the job description.
That's the job description. And the other thing why it's so much more beneficial to use the terminology, you have a big, important job, you have an important job, is that we don't want to confuse children, that typically for the majority of children, that they will not necessarily be able to stay dry when they're asleep. That means initially during nap time and later at bedtime. So what happens in the early stages of, you know, mastering the toilet is that children return to a diaper or pull up when they're sleeping, which makes perfect sense. In the majority of children, it takes several months to even a few years before they're able to maintain dryness while they're asleep. So, but how confusing to say to a child, well, you're big when you're awake, but in fact, you're little when you go to sleep. I mean, children can't make sense of ambiguity. But when we say to a child, oh, you have your job when you are awake, but when you're asleep, you're not on the job anymore. And that's why you get to return to your diapers. And as you get older, you won't need diapers for the time when you're sleeping. For right now, that's what you need. So it actually kind of, the whole story makes a whole lot more sense for kids and is so much more empowering and real.
So, okay, question. I have to try to throw a wrench in here somewhere. You already spoke about nighttime and then being off the job at night. What if a child says, I don't want my job today?
And then you can say, "Is I hear that, and thank you for letting me know." And new jobs can feel uncomfortable at first. So we validate the feeling, we work with the feeling. And then we say to them, "But it's important, and I'm here to help. And you can do it even when it feels hard." And again, but before we also want to prepare kids. Like, we don't just want to, like, one day they're in diapers and then the next day we're like, hey, now you've got this job. So there is a period of preparation that we actually want to help children become aware. I always call that preparation a little bit guarded. So what do I mean by guarded? Meaning, yes, we want them to know a change is taking place, but it's like trying to explain to a child about swimming in a swimming pool before they've actually entered into the pool. There's just so much information that they can, but we don't want to surprise them with this. We want to be real, just the way that we prepare them for other experiences that they're having, that they have, because preparation is key. So I always say to parents, we want to do this 2 days out. We want to let them know there's going to be a change. You're going to have a new job. That job is called the body boss. You get to listen to your body so you can recognize when you need to pee and poop. Get to take care of your body by putting your pee and poop in the potty. One of the things you'll need in order to be a good body boss is you'll need underpants, and we're going to be able to get them. Usually parents have a hoard of underpants in their drawers before they're really embarking on this in earnestness. But I always say it pays to take another trip to the store just to get an extra pair, get the child involved in it. So we give them a little bit of lead time on them. And then when children have resistance, we help them make sense of that. You've been in diapers for 2 years. I get why it feels big.
Love all of the, how to prepare them up to the moment too. I love that. So I wanted to ask another question, and this is really a leading question because it's something I heard you say at the conference, and you said that there's the most important thing in this whole process. What is that? What is the most, what is the number one thing in terms of teaching children to, at least with poop?
So one of the things that and there are many things. First, I should say that it is not uncommon at all for children to have more comfort with peeing in the potty before they're actually comfortable pooping in the potty. So one of the things for adults is that we can't get too fixated on that. We can't get derailed by that. We have to, again, see it as, right, you're 50% of the way there. This is just a matter of time before you become comfortable pooping in the potty too. The other is that we have to be really, really careful not to create any kind of uncomfortable experience for a child associated with defecating. What do we not want to do when a child is in the midst of having a bowel movement? And many children will crouch down, hide under a table, put their hand up and say, "Don't look," or whatever. We don't, in the midst of that, want to pick them up and whisk them over to the bathroom. That can create a very alarming sensation for children, which can provoke for some children, not for all children, for some children, the feeling that it doesn't feel safe, and then they choose to withhold. So it's imperative that we as adults know that what we're focused in on is the importance of getting body fluids and feces out of children. Where they go is of secondary importance. When a child is crouching down and you realize that they're defecating, whether they're still in a diaper or they're in underpants, what do you say to them at that moment? And perhaps nothing at that exact moment when they're in that. Your body was letting you know that it had an important poop to come out. We don't say to kids in the midst of that, "Hurry, hurry, go to the potty, go to the potty, go to the potty," because that, for some children, never for all, but for some children, it can create these feelings of pooping doesn't feel safe, and I'm going to try to avoid doing this. We need to have very healthy attitudes around pooping.
So what if we've already done that, though? We've already created this, these feelings, these unsafe feelings, and mm-hmm. we recognize it. We just listened to you for 45 minutes, and now we're like, oh my goodness, how do I walk this back? What's my first step? Was like, please tell us.
One of the first things that we begin to do is like, we really have to change our narrative. We have to recognize and try and look at what may have happened that could have created a really, really overwhelming or uncomfortable emotion around pooping for children. And I often say, and it's kind of like, I probably not going to be able to address it in its complexity, but I'll do it in a simple version, is that when emotion gets stuck and a child has a lot of resistance around that experience, the best thing that we can do is A, first change our own mindset and energy around it, and B, help the child make sense of it. And what I say is that we can create very simple social stories for children. And a social story brings into an awareness an unpleasant emotion that a child experienced. And we always start and end a story with strong positive affirmations about the child. So it would go kind of like, Chaz is a wonderful little boy and he is learning so many important things every day. Chaz became a body boss and he was learning to listen to what his body was telling him. Mommy put Chaz on the toilet and that didn't feel safe. Chaz no longer felt comfortable using the toilet. Mommy knows that she's going to help Chaz recognize her. And again, I'm doing this off the cuff without really having the right exact words, but it won't be long before Chaz sees that using the potty feels safe and he can feel proud of himself. The key with it is that we have to bring up the place where it got stuck. Yeah. And we have to create a different outcome for the child. We
Thank
have
you,
to sir. Paint it like an artist. You're going to paint that outcome before they're actually able to demonstrate the willingness and the comfort to go back there.
Like an artist, paint the outcome. Love it. Any last words you want to say before I turn off the broadcast? This has been a really great conversation.
So for more information, ask people to continue to follow me on Instagram as well. I'm joan.morganstern. I say be a potty partner with your child. You can do it. We can change the way we're looking at potty learning and potty mastery. I'm convinced that when you know it differently, that you will do it differently. And on behalf of all the children out there, I thank you for your willingness.
I love that. And if you stayed here, you get for the whole thing, you get a special treat, a little special information that we will do an IG live after this comes out. And I will open it up to your questions. So if you've heard this, you heard all of these, everything she's had to say, now you can ask maybe more specific questions and we can talk about it on Instagram Live. So I hope I see you guys there.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name? What's my